Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in K-12 EdTech this week. I'm Kevin Hogan, and I'm glad you found us. This week, we look at some interesting pieces of content posted to eSchoolNews.com that focus on data and how it can enable a district to run more efficiently in ways you probably already expect, say automating staff expense reports, for example, but maybe some other ways that at first may seem like intangibles, say student well-being and mental health. So let's get started. First off, a reminder that there's about 1 week left. The deadline is September 15th to enter your school or district in the 2022 eSchool News Hero Awards. You know, this great education beta test brought on by the pandemic has resulted in discoveries and innovations across education, from distance learning and closing the digital divide to addressing the need for diversity, equity, and inclusion in schools, and so much more. I'd like to encourage everyone to participate in this year's contest so your real-life challenges and successes can be celebrated and shared with the education community. So as the nominees roll in, I had a chance to chat with one, Corey Matsumiya. He is the assistant controller at the Kamehameha School. Yes, I pronounced that correctly, in Hawaii. Also on the call was Jim McClurk, and he's the senior director of state and local government at SAP Concur. And we talked about their efforts towards automation that led to Corey's school being nominated this year. Have a listen. Corey, you know, 6 years in now, you're a pretty advanced user, a pretty savvy implementator of this. What advice would you give to other districts that maybe are just kind of getting started looking to automate, or they're looking to automate or to upgrade maybe from something that might be a little bit more prehistoric?
I would say definitely it's change management is the key to success. And it's introducing people to the technology, explaining why they need it, how this is going to help them. I think one of the greatest attributes that we got from SAP Concur was just the mobile platform. One of the greatest things that people enjoy about it is being able to use their cell phone, not only to take pictures of the receipts, submit the reports, but from an approver standpoint, they're not locked to their computer. So they can do expense approval from anywhere they are, even sitting in the airport. But those types of, I call it sales pitches, really helped us in selling our user base as to why they needed Concur and why they needed to really educate themselves on how to use it to make their lives better.
Yeah, and Jim, talk a little bit about how, you know, when you have a customer that's been using the technology for this long, I mean, has your company adjusted as a vendor to some of the experiences that they've had? I mean, have you taken some of their innovations and spread it across to other districts?
Yeah, we're always looking for how people are utilizing the platform. Because regardless of how smart you think you are, the people who are using it day to day for their own business uses, like Corey in the district, are doing things you go, well, I thought of that. You know, really good way to do that, right? So we do that, and we have a team, you know, in the life cycle of a Concur customer that will call up and do business reviews with you to optimize what you're doing, particularly for people who have been using it for a long time, like Corey and any number of, you know, the 50,000 clients we have out there in the world. We always have new modules coming in, right? We're not trying to build the best of breed of everything, you know, but we do. Like, we recently have a new one that just came in for sustainability, for example. I was just on a call this morning where they laid out this whole sustainability. So you overlay this onto your Concur instance, and it tells you how to keep your carbon footprint lower. Well, if you took the train in New Jersey to Washington instead of going to Newark and flying, you could lower your carbon footprint by X. You know, so we're constantly bringing new modules to the platform, whether it be for tax, what we call you know, remediating taxes that have been paid that shouldn't have been, whether it's sustainability, whether it's, you know, an audit tool that will audit everything, you know. So we'll constantly bring things to the table to say, hey, I know you've been here for 6-7 years. Look at this shiny new toy. This will really help you here. And there are whole teams of people that's all they do, are the business reviews to work and help our clients optimize what they're doing at all times.
Be sure to get more details on how to enter the awards up on the Hero Awards tab at eSchool News homepage. Next, a recent report authored by Julia Fisher. She's the Director of Education Research at the Clayton Christensen Institute, and it's called Students Hidden Networks: Relationship Mapping as a Strategy to Build Asset-Based Pathways. This report offers an in-depth look on how to help students begin relationship mapping, a simple and powerful strategy, they write, to make the invisible visible to students and institutions alike. So what exactly does that mean? Good question. A number of future thinking groups are focused on equitably building student social capital and connections. These are things that we hear about all the time in corporate America, but not necessarily in K-12. But so as they continue their work, there are strategies and best practices that have emerged for teachers and school leaders to help kids develop their own networking strategies. Schools can better understand the relationships that students have outside of school, that unbounded network of the greater community, using this strategy called relationship mapping. It helps students and schools visualize, reflect upon, and keep track of the people that they know. The article posts 5 pointers to help teachers figure out the whole relationship mapping thing. I'll share with you 3 of them. 1, if you're trying to increase the likelihood that students mobilize their networks, attach the mapping to personal goals and real-world stakes. Building a network doesn't just have to be about students meeting new people. It can be about students having new types of conversations with people they already know. 2, if you're trying to increase students' sense of belonging and access to support, find out who students already trust. Particularly in light of the pandemic, they write, schools are focused on belonging and support as crucial ingredients to helping students thrive. Instead of assigning support, relationship mapping offers the opportunity to first ask students whom they already feel they can trust or depend upon. And then 3, if you're trying to expand a student's professional network, start with the employers the students and families already know. Schools and career centers often look for ways to expand students.